Hello, everyone. We can't wait to introduce this special bonus episode in collaboration with One Down Media and Kumu Philippines, talking about One Down Media's new series, Trauma Bond. We are interviewing both the CEO of One Down Media, Leo Albea, and his ate, who's featured in the first episode of the Trauma Bond series, Tessa Albea, who is also VP of Kumu Philippines. Sit back, relax, drink your tea or water as we feature this episode on Trauma Bond. Maayong adlaw, welcome to our bonus episode for the Philippine X and Wellness podcast. I am your host, Cheryl Sampson Ramirez, and my pronouns are she, her, sha. For this episode's audio description, currently I am wearing eyeglasses with a rose gold sparkly tinted frame. I have long black hair with blue ends. I am wearing silver headphones and a red knitted tank top. In my background, I have a curtain with white and silver zigzags. Following our last episode, Artistry and Life with Marking, this month we have added a bonus episode and we'll be talking about One Down Media's new series, Trauma Bond. Our guests for this episode are the CEO of One Down Media, Leo Albea, and your ate in the first episode of Trauma Bond, Tessa Albea, who is also VP of Kumu Philippines. As mentioned in previous episodes, all views discussed are for informational purposes and educational purposes only. It's not meant to be medical advice, nor does it constitute therapy or professional advice. Always consult with your healthcare practitioner, especially before starting any exercise or new health program or a qualified mental health professional for your particular condition. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome to our podcast both Leo and Tessa Albea. Welcome to the podcast, both of you.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here. We typically like to open our episodes with knowing where our guests are from. So to your knowledge, where are both sides of your family from and where are you currently streaming from? And we'll start with Tessa first on this and Leo to follow.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tessa. And for the audio description, I have blonde curly hair. I am wearing maroon lipstick. I have brown eyeshadow on. I'm wearing a tan dress. And my background is tan walls. I'm currently in Palawan, Puerto Princesa, Palawan, Philippines. Yes, and our family is from Bicol, but we were born and raised in Oxnard, California.
Nice. Shout out to Ventura County.
Yeah, it'll be.
Yeah. And both of your parents are from Bicol?
Yes. Yes. Both sides? It's from Legazpi, and okay. My dad is from Palangi Albay, so both from Bicol.
Yeah. What about you, Leo? Where are you streaming from today?
Hi there. I'm Leo. For this episode's audio description, I'm wearing my white AirPods with my earrings, a fresh haircut that I got yesterday, so I have shortish black hair. I'm wearing a gray sweater, and I'm in my house in Oxnard, California, and there's green curtains behind me.
Sweet. Now, before diving into your new series, Trauma Bond, let's provide some context about One Down Media for our community. Leo, let's start off with you. Why the name One Down, and what was your drive behind making One Down Media? Tell us about your origin story.
Yeah, so One Down is actually the English translation of the phrase Isang Bagsak, which originates in the 1980s people power movement. And a lot of the history that we learned of our own people, of the Philippines, kind of came to us in college. You know, I went to UCLA, I joined Samhang Pilipino, I joined Samhang Modern. And, you know, within our college community, we just learned more about what it means to be Filipino American and what it means to be Filipino. And I remember when I graduated UCLA, I wanted to enter into media and entertainment, but, you know, the industry is predominantly white, as many industries are, and I didn't know how to enter it. I didn't know anyone that worked in the industry, and so it was very daunting. So we created One Down because we wanted to create a platform for the next generation of creatives to not feel that way, to feel as though we do actually belong here and that there are many Filipinos that work within the industry, whether that be behind the camera or in front of the camera. And so that was really kind of the origin stories of One Down, and that was in 2018.
It's really cool to hear that you all are filling that space within this industry, and especially in representation, where we typically haven't seen a lot of our folks, our community within entertainment, you know, and media. So Leo, being that you're the CEO of One Down Media and Tessa, the VP of Kumu, how would you both differentiate yourselves from other Filipino media outlets, providing context for a community that's hearing about your platforms, your arenas for the first time? We'll start with Tessa first on this one, and followed by Leo.
Yeah, so for those of you that are not familiar with Kumu, Kumu comes from the word kumusta. It is a Filipino live streaming app, the number one Filipino live streaming app there is. What I love about Kumu is we always talk, it's a live streaming platform where you do live stream videos. It's similar to TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, where you can upload your videos, your clips. You can tambay or hang out with people in real time and just get to know Filipinos out everywhere. For me, I started on the app as a streamer. I was a very shy girl. Yes, believe it or not, very shy. And I found my voice on Kumu, learning that I can embrace myself and learn more about my culture. I actually nakaaral ako Tagalog dito sa Kumu. So I learned Tagalog on Kumu, and it's still konti lang, but I'm still learning. Right now, we have over 15 million registered users all over, outside of the Philippines, everywhere, you name it, where Filipinos are. We have so many of them, and it's just a beautiful thing where we're able to connect with Filipinos everywhere and just, you know, learn a little bit out of our culture, whether or not you grew up in a Filipino household, whether you identify yourself with Filipino or you love Filipino music. It's a beautiful thing. So that's a little bit about Kumu.
Nice. And Leo, how would you differentiate One Down Media from other Filipino media outlets out there, maybe like a GMA, for example?
Yeah, so it's actually quite interesting. The reason why we created One Down in 2018 is because when we looked out into Filipino media, there were no large media sites that actually discussed issues that were important to us. So the GMAs of the world, the ABS-CBNs of the world, they speak to OFWs, they speak to our parents, but they don't necessarily cover the issues or even resonate deeply with folks that grew up in America and are, you know, growing up in this digital era. And so we wanted to create a company where we can discuss topics that we understand, that we resonate, that aren't often described in mainstream. And often those are very ugly topics, to be honest. They could be about body shaming. They could be about colorism, even mental health. And I think we'll talk about that a little later. But there is one thing that I want to say that I'm really happy to see, and it's that Filipino media is growing. I remember when we started this, we were actually embarrassed to say that we were One Down. I remember for the first 6 months, we never showed, like, I never publicly showed, like, oh, this is a media company that I'm creating with my friends. It was kind of like, we were posting videos about Filipinos that we were proud of that were in entertainment, but we never revealed who was actually editing these videos or making these videos. Of course, it was just like me at like 2 a.m. trying to get this out. But the reason why is like, it wasn't cool. It wasn't cool to have this like Filipino media company. No one was really doing it. And I really appreciate having gone through that, because I remember seeing this quote once that if you're not embarrassed about your product, you're too late. As in, this was something that wasn't yet cool, wasn't interesting, people hadn't caught on. And I think it's so awesome that today, in 2024, there's so many Filipino media pages and sites and content creators that we're not the only ones. And for sure, in 2018, I'm not saying we were the only ones. The types of content and discussions that we wanted to have and started having on our platform was not as common. Even in the case of like mental health is still stigmatized within the global Filipino community. But I remember some of our early content was mental health, and so many people were just reacting and reading and interacting with it because there weren't many people who were discussing it in that way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And it seemed like we were must have all been connected on this universal timeline, Leo, because I know our podcast is right in the fourth year of our rollout. And even in talking to groups like Therapy Nye, they were actually thinking about rolling out their mental health directory around the same timeline. So I'm glad that we were all kind of at the same time identifying what the needs were in our community, just finding different outlets to be able to discuss a lot of these topics that really hit at the heart of what we need to be addressing in order to move forward. So for both One Down Media and Kun Wu, what do you both want your audience or your companies to take away in general when watching the content that you put out? And we'll start with Leo first. Again, this is Cheryl speaking, and then Tessa to follow.
Yeah, I think I'll say this like one disclaimer. I actually used to work at Kumu, so I was their VP of marketing, and I only recently had left around a couple of months ago to fully go full-time with One Down and really build our vision. And I want to mention that like Kumu gave me a lot of confidence because in 2020, the founders actually reached out to One Down. And this was before we had any like large viral videos. This is before, you know, we were anyone, to be honest. And they really believed in our ability to tell stories. And they sponsored one of our first web series, which was called Breaking the Tabo. The first episode of Breaking the Tabo hit 10 million views, completely organic. And we wouldn't be here as a platform and as, you know, a content platform without really the support and trust that came from Kumu and the Kumu founders. So that I carry on as I consider what does it take to really support the community? Because what Kumu and the founders taught me is that I'm not going to wait for someone to accomplish this amazing thing before I go and support them. But we're really going to actively go out into the community and find the people who are doing good work and support them. And so I guess when I think of what I want the viewers to feel around the stories that we tell, the content that we produce, is that we're doing this because we know it's important, even if we don't feel as though advertisers are going to be flocking to us to try to get a sponsorship, even if we feel like we're not going to get these pats on the back. Because if you read the comments, not everyone is going to agree. Not everyone's going to love the content that we say, but we believe it's important. And this matters for the folks that don't believe they have a voice or don't believe they could heal with their parents or don't believe certain things about being Filipino. This is really for them. And this is really for us. This is the content that we always wanted when we grew up. So that's what I would hope that anyone who comes across our platform, that they sincerely see that this is made for them. And it's not just us like randomly choosing what we think is important, but really getting the feedback of our community and what they find important and applying that into the content.
And I would piggyback on that, Leo, what you just said. And I completely concur because it was your post on Philippine X or Philippine X, the usage of that term, that actually spawned our episode to come forward in talking about defining Philippine X in our community. So I want to just shout out One Down Media for really inspiring us to approach that topic and why is it important to use that term within our community for a section of our community that isn't always visible or acknowledged. And I also saw that you're also putting out So Bakla as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? And then after that, Tessa will ask you more about Kumu as well.
Yeah, so actually One Down had created a couple of verticals. And yes, one of those verticals is our LGBTQ plus brand, So Bakla. The reason why this was important is because I actually grew up as a closeted gay Filipino. I wanted to be myself. And I feel as though 18 years of my life, I lived in fear of trying to grapple with the fact that I had the sexuality that it felt as though my whole family my whole culture, and even like the United States did not recognize as something that is okay to be. And so what we always look for in terms of the brands that we want to champion and grow is who doesn't have a voice and why is that so important for us to create content? And so that's where So Baklat came from. It also is a way to reclaim the insults that Baklat has been within our community. And that used to hurt, like just to be called Baklat and used as like this weaponized term against us, even though that was just who we were. So that's just an example. And you know, we hope that it resonates with more people and that it encourages them that like whatever you are and however you are is literally perfect. And we just want to see more of those stories so that people can see that that however they are is really great.
Is there another vertical space? You mentioned multiple vertical spaces that you wanted to talk about in this episode and highlight that other folks should be like aware of?
Yeah, I mean, we have multiple initiatives. The reason why is we're building this media ecosystem where Filipinos in general can thrive. So when I spoke at the top of the episode in terms of Filipinos not being so represented in media and entertainment, but also in many different areas, and some can also say like mental health as well. So when we think of the different parts that need to be built and how we work with the community to do that, another one of our verticals is called 2UP. So like we have one down, 2UP. 2UP is our nonprofit program to actually train creatives to enter into media and entertainment. We're coming out with our creator network, and this is to support 100 Filipino-American content creators in 10 different categories. So even like the creator network splitting into different categories varies. We have our food vertical. We have our travel vertical. But when we think of travel and tourism, it's not just the beautiful beaches. It's funny because Tessa's in Palawan right now.
All right.
But really understanding the people and the culture of the Philippines. I was blessed to go visit Davao and meet the Lumad farmers and speak with them. But really just looking at what are the untapped stories of the Philippines and the Filipino people and what's the potential there for us all to kind of contribute into that ecosystem and give back to our people.
Got it. Now, Tessa, with Kumu, what does Kumu want their audiences to take away in general when watching the content on Kumu's platform?
Yeah, so for anyone that is watching our content on Kumu, I mean, we have so much different content. I mean, there's a something for you. I think the biggest takeaway that I would say is for a lot of us, for me especially, when I started on Kumu, I was intimidated by my Filipino culture. I went to nursing school. I never went to PCN or got to divulge into that. And so going onto a Filipino live streaming platform that was what I felt was primarily speaking Tagalog and all Filipinos, it was really intimidating. And no, don't overthink it. Just go. I mean, you get a little something out of it. You would be shocked at how many people do speak English, at how many people make a living just being themselves, singing Filipino karaoke songs, talking about how much they love K-pop or BTS, or, you know, especially having tough conversations or, you know, just fangirling or anything what it was. I mean, whatever the content that you enjoy, whether it's Filipino or not, you would be surprised that on Kumu, there's a safe place for you to be able to express yourself. I would not be where I am if it wasn't for Kumu. I really discovered my voice. I built my confidence in the way that I looked and the way that I expressed myself, and I built it in a safe place. I mean, Kumu was all of our founders are Filipino-American, so not all of them speak Tagalog, but you know, going into the Philippines and being able to build something that so many people, especially during the pandemic, till this day, saved their lives, and reading the comments and hearing all the stories, it's really amazing. So I urge you, if you have downloaded Kumu, or you haven't, or you've heard of it, or maybe you had it before, re-download it. There is a lot more to offer, and whatever content you're into, whether you like singing, whether you like tumbang, whether you like to be on camera, off camera, I urge you to follow us on socials and check it out. And also reach out to me. Let me know what content you are. I would love to share it also.
Yeah, this is so powerful that both of you are representing your unique and your separate media companies here on this platform. And we can't thank you both enough for being on here to talk more about what you're offering. I'm also curious, Being Filipino American and being a part of Kumu, Tessa, you're currently a part of Kuma, and Leo, you were formerly a part of Kumu. What have been the dialogues around some of the topics that might be uniquely Filipino American and vice versa? Like, how do those kind of intersect? And, you know, because sometimes in the past, you know, some people like make a distinction. Oh, you're American, and so you don't understand what's happening in the Philippines, or vice versa. Oh, you using like other terms to criticize people that have come from the Philippines. I'm just curious how those experiences have, what you both have experienced being Filipino-American in the Philippines, and what those conversations are like around the topics and the content that you know, present.
Yeah, I can start with that. I feel like the beauty of an app like Kumu is it breaks down the separation that exists because of location. And, you know, growing up as a Filipino-American, I feel like I misunderstood so much about what it means to be Filipino in general. And one, Kumu helped me connect with folks that were around the world, and especially in the Philippines. But what was more meaningful was actually going to the Philippines, living there, visiting home. And I feel like there's a different lens that occurs when you have Kumu and you can speak and get to know friends. And when you finally get to visit, it's a whole different experience. And I don't think the whole Filipino-American versus Filipino from the mainland or the motherland can be remedied in just one video, one conversation, one podcast. There's a lot of differences. We've seen it, especially on TikTok, to be honest. There's often a lot of like viral discussions in which like Filipino Americans and Filipinos kind of discuss those differences, or not even discuss, but kind of like fight over it. And the main thing is, let me say it from the Filipino American side. We want to be closer to our culture. And when we mess up even just a little bit, it gets very intimidating for it to be kind of criticized or spotlighted that, oh, you didn't say that word right, or you used that word incorrectly, or et cetera, et cetera. And on the other side of folks who are from the Philippines, they also get intimidated too, in, you know, having to speak English or not being able to relate to certain things. And I feel like on both sides, we just don't talk about it, or we make assumptions of the other folks. But, you know, Tessa's like best friends are all from the Philippines. And like, I always wish that I'm just in the Philippines than having to be here in America. And it's been honestly such a great thing to be able to connect and know people better. And I think platforms like Kumu that connects, and then platforms and content like One Down that discusses these differences, are so powerful for us to get closer to the ultimate goal of just being able to really be a community that takes care of each other.
Right. Tessa, would you like to add anything to that? Or
yes, I think at least for me, going into these conversations, I always was intimidated, or I would overthink that I would say something that is wrong or anything. And being on Kumu and actually living in the Philippines, and like Leo mentioned, all my best friends, colleagues, everyone is Filipino. Just starting the conversation in your own way goes a long way. I have learned and unpacked. I am constantly unpacking and unlearning so many things that I thought growing up where one of the things growing up with my parents, I never understood why they would send money back home. That wasn't something I understood. Abolic buying box, simple things like that, where I really am starting to understand why our parents do these things. And I think we'll get more into it with my relationship with my mother, but really realizing, okay, this is really what I'm missing in terms of my relationship with my parents and understanding it. Maybe I won't understand it fully yet, but at least I'm trying to, and I'm learning, and I can say that I'm living that. So it's a very humbling experience. And, you know, being in the Philippines as a Filipino American, I know my privilege, and how can I better educate others? How can I make sure that I am, you know, making the conscious effort, whether it's just one little step, one big step, whatever it is that I make, you know, I'm doing my parents proud. I'm doing my culture proud and just doing the little things that I can. So that is the one thing really, is not overthinking it for me and just navigating these conversations in a way that both that we all just communicate, and Kumu really does it in a great way. I really started off with, actually One Down would start these conversations with other college students, not only from America, but from the Philippines as well, where we just talked about topics like Catholicism and me and the LGBTQ plus community and body shaming and all these things. And just starting there, where you actually see, oh, I didn't know that was your perspective, just having a safe place to be able to do so. I know there's also other live streams on Kumu that's coming up. So we'll definitely, if you follow us on social media, you'll be able to see more of those conversations and how it's navigated on Kumu.
Awesome. And I also wanted to say out there that because we have listeners globally, we have a global community, that I know we're limiting our conversation to perspectives in the Philippines and that in the U.S. And I know that we have a diaspora all over the world. So wanted to just shout out, you know, also our Canadian neighbors, folks in Europe, in Australia. We definitely want to get your perspectives on our platforms as well. So just wanted to just say we see you and we acknowledge you, and we can't wait to incorporate your experiences on our platforms also. Tessa, how did you get involved in Kumu? I know we heard a little bit about Leo's story earlier at the top of the episode. How did you get involved with Kumu yourself?
Yes, so crazy story. I am a nurse in the U.S. I had Filipino parents that told me that I needed to go into the medical field or the military, and those were the two options. And as an ate, I really felt that burden that I need to make sure that I am successful so that my younger siblings are proud of me and they follow in the lead or anything. And it was a lot coming from my parents. I come from, my mom is in the medical field. My dad was in the Navy. My kuya is in the Navy. So I was a nurse, and during pandemic, I was burnt out. My father passed away from cancer, and I needed a safe space to be myself. And at the time, Leo was hired by Kumu. And she told me, Ate, you seem, you're funny, you talk, you're more on camera than me. And I was like, okay, not really, but I mean, I guess a bit. So I downloaded Kumu. I started talking, dancing, and it was so cool. I felt very myself to be able to express myself. I started with a K-quiz show. My content was always K-pop, K-drama, things that I loved. And there was so many Filipinos that loved that as well. And I just kept on building a community, not just for Filipino Americans, but for myself to feel safe and be able to express myself. And I was going through a lot of grief with my father's passing, and it helped me. It really helped me to heal. And, you know, it felt like I was connecting with him, I connected with Filipinos everywhere. And so I became director of Kumu USA. After Kumu USA, I moved up to vice president of I moved up to director of programming for Kumu, making a lot of the programs and shows. And from that, I moved on to be the vice president of customer engagement. So that is where I'm at right now, working with a lot of our global paying users and everyone on Kumu, because there are over 1,500 streamers that use Kumu as their main livelihood. And so it's an amazing, beautiful thing where you are able to see where your money goes to support all of these artists, to support these Filipinos. I mean, what other app are you going to find where Filipinos invest back into Filipinos, Filipino Americans, whatever it is? So that's how I started on Kumu, and I'm still on this journey living in the Philippines, going back and forth and just learning and unlearning and enjoying this wave right now.
Now, you mentioned earlier, before we jump into Trauma Bond itself as a series, Breaking the Tabu, can anyone maybe explain what Breaking the Tabu was before we jump into our topic at hand, in case haven't seen it?
So that was a show that I remember ideating in February of 2019. It wasn't until 2020, around May, that I pitched it to Roland, the founder of Kumu, and I told him, hey, there's all these topics that are inherently Filipino that are a bit controversial, a bit taboo, and I want to talk about it, and I think the world's ready. And he's like, yeah, we'll support you. So we created Breaking the Tabu, which is a play on words for breaking the taboo. And so it focused on research, research and entertainment that makes these topics very engaging. So some of our initial topics that were in season one was, is Filipino food unhealthy? Body shaming. Are there Filipinos represented in Hollywood? What is Philippine X? And is, you know, how do you use it? And then can Filipinos claim Pacific Islander? And there were all these like very touchy subjects. And it was so cool to see that overall, that entire season, season one, did 20 million views organically. And like to put that into perspective, we were a 2-year-old company being run by like young college grads that were working full-time jobs, and we didn't know what we were doing. So to reach 20 million views organically off of these topics that are inherently Filipino tells you the power of this type of content and really the need for it. So that's Breaking the Tabo. It can be watched on Facebook or YouTube, but that was really the start of our journey doing a digital series around tough Filipino topics.
Awesome. Thank you for contextualizing that for our community. Okay, so we're at the first half, having learned more about One Down Media, Kumu, and we're going to dive into the Trauma Bond series for the second half of this episode. Thank you all for joining us for our bonus episode of Season 4. I'm talking with the CEO of One Down Media, Leo Albea, and his ate, Tessa Albea, who's in the first episode of Trauma Bond, also VP of Kumu Philippines. Feel free to take a quick stretch, refill your water or tea. We'll be right back with a fun second half after this quick break as we play the trailer to the Trauma Bond series.
Remember when we asked Filipinos tough questions?
Filipinos don't save for retirement. They just have kids and bet on them to take care of them when they're old.
Yeah, that.
Expect that somebody is going to comment on your weight.
You don't have to look Filipino to be Filipino.
This is really bad.
In the Philippines, the beauty standard is the girl from Blackpink.
Gay people are tolerated, not accepted.
Listen, my therapist is here in the room. We are unpacking some trauma.
And now, it's going to hit home, literally.
Inside this tabo are triggering questions about your relationship.
What is the most hurtful thing you have told your daughter?
Your mom answered them earlier. You'll share yours first, and then you'll read your mom's answers.
I didn't think we were going to be talking about anything serious.
No, you're not supposed to think that I'm fat.
I'm not fat.
You're not skinny, definitely.
Well, so you need to gain some weight. How does that feel?
Okay.
I'm a toothpick. Why do they have to discuss this? Why do they?
My mom was way too stubborn and just like didn't really care about my opinion. You didn't respect me as a person.
Everything that I experienced with you is my first also.
What were your parents like? My mom was so strict way back then. The chinelas, oh, there was physical. I told myself, I'm not gonna let it happen to my kids.
Whenever I wear sleepless clothes and I'm told like, oh, your arms are too big or you're too fat.
I remember that. That's so heavy on my heart.
Her generation of Filipinos misunderstand ours, and I think that also we misunderstand them.
I love you, which I never heard from your Lola until like later on this life now.
Society puts enough pressure on us. I think what we really need from our parents is just the unconditional love.
As parents, you have to understand that it's hurtful for us and I'm not used to it.
I don't feel like I want to be respectful towards you.
This is Trauma Bond. Can we get past this?
Welcome back to Philippine X and Wellness. You were just listening to the trailer of One Down Media's new Trauma Bond series. Returning from our break, I'm talking with CEO of One Down Media, Leo Albea, and his ate, one of the voices you heard in the trailer, who was talking with her mom, Pinky Albea, about body image. Tessa Albea, also VP of Kumu Philippines. Now let's dive into the One Down Media series, Trauma Bond. Leo, what inspired you to create the Chamabon series? I know that you were the producer. Can you discuss the themes and messages that you aim to convey through this particular series?
Yeah, so Chamabon actually transformed out of a show called Tabo Takes. And Tabo Takes transformed out of Breaking the Tabo. So when we created Breaking the Tabo, we understood that there were multiple topics within the Filipino community that were taboo, and we wanted to talk about it. Slowly over time, we started working with Philippine and Filipino-American celebrities, and we would give them this, like, tabo and fill it with hot takes or, like, controversial takes to get their opinion. That series also did really well. I think, like, over 12 million views organically across the different episodes. And we've had some of the biggest stars, Liza Soberano, Nadine Lustre, Anthony Kayvon, so many different people who have actually participated in Tabo Takes. So I wanted to bring it back to the root, which is I want Filipinos to see themselves, because I didn't want to just leave it at celebrities telling us these taboo things. I wanted Filipino Americans or Filipinos in general to see themselves, everyday people. So we started casting within our community to do Tabo Takes and try to understand what stories our audience had. So I would sit in, like, I think these were like 15-minute meetings with folks who were kind of submitting themselves to be casted for this new season of Tabo Takes. And as we sat down with our team, it was Sarah, our sister, who also works at One Down, Joe Marie, who helped us with casting, and then even one of our, like, previous directors, Jules Cruz, he's part of the Philharmonic. And we were kind of just discussing, how do we make a format that is interesting but drives conversation? And we came up with this concept of essentially trying to find the root of all things. And that ended up being our parents. And so we were like, what would happen if instead of just reading the Tabo Takes about these topics, but we had to introduce to you the trauma that created the thing that you were talking about, I think we have to bring in their parents. And so then we started diving deep into how do we construct this new format so that we can kind of address this. And so that's where Chamabon kind of came into existence. I remember I was like, oh, how about this show? Let's call it Drama Meets Trauma. It was like your parents are the drama and then they get to meet, like, your trauma. And I was like, no, that's actually not the point. Like, our parents shouldn't be seen or perceived as the drama, but rather, how can we find a way that we empathize with their experience as well without ostracizing or villainizing them? And the reason why it's called Chamabon, which I do have to disclose, is an actual psychological term, and it describes kind of this endearment or relationship to one's abuser. That is not what we are using Chamabon as. We're using a colloquial understanding of it to kind of convey the feeling of being able to get closer to our family, to our friends, to people in discussing things that have caused us trauma in order to kind of heal from that. So that really was the inception of Chamabon. And this being the pilot episodes, this is really us trying to discover, does it work? Is it good? Do people need this? Do they like it? So we don't actually know. I mean, we just launched the episode recently, and we're trying to understand, how do we make it better? How do we make this impactful for people?
People are probably listening to this wondering, how do I even begin to have these conversations with my own parents when talking about the trauma that they've caused for us? So I'm curious to ask you both, for your mom, when you approached her in talking about this series and in having to talk about mental health topics, how did she initially feel? Like, did you find her to be hesitant? Whoever would like to answer, take this first.
Okay, I think I should let Ate Tessa.
Okay. Yeah.
So we had no idea about this series or what we were going into, actually. Always, like Leo mentioned, we are a very family unit where we do a lot of the recordings and everything, and we're used to doing videos for One Down when they need it. And usually we just get the script when we get there, and they'll give us a brief. And so I went on my day, regular day. Oh, we're going to record something with your mom, all this. Okay, cool. Went in there, wasn't thinking that it was going to be super serious or anything. Oh, just talking about your relationship. I think actually at that time, it was something that they were saying for Mother's Day. I think we filmed this before Mother's Day, Leo, is that correct? And so, you know, I was not thinking that we were going to get into it. Of course, there are a lot of times that I have these conversations with my mother and it's difficult. So I know it was we went into this completely like, oh, we're going to have that conversation. And at least my mom, she is so supportive of One Down and everything that we do. And she listens. She listens. And we may not agree, but then at least I'm very glad that she is listening. Whether or not she agrees, you know, that's another conversation, but she's listening and trying to actively listen and participate. So she wasn't hesitant doing this. She'll do anything that we ask, but at least she was very honest, and it was tough. It's really difficult.
I'm glad that she wasn't like mad at you both afterwards. Like, what did you guys make me do in public? Now I have all my dirty laundry for my friends to laugh at me or cheese me about me now. So she was really receptive, I guess.
Yeah, to be honest, she is very receptive. I tend to think the power that our parents hold is that chismis culture.
Yeah,
is
totally
that
right.
Ability to enlist them for the greater good of Filipinos around the world, in terms of if we can transform our parents to understand us just a little bit more, but also us allow ourselves to understand our parents even more, a really beautiful thing can happen where they're sharing these videos on Facebook because they see that there are different ways to kind of think and interact. And I think our mom is like a really wonderful and beautiful example of that. And I see her have these discussions with her friends because like what Filipino like mom or dad, like the kind that like loves to be in selfies, loves to post on Facebook and all that, who wouldn't want to be able to kind of be a beacon of being able to have these discussions? And it's such a awesome thing that she gets to do as well. And so I think this didn't happen overnight. That's the one thing that I had to say. And to kind of the question that you were alluding to earlier, how do people have these conversations with their parents?
Yeah.
If you asked me this in 2018 when we were beginning One Down, I would not know how to tell you how to do that. My answer nowadays, and I've seen this from so many like community folks who actually watch One Down, and they would give us like this kind of like note and say, hey, thank you so much for creating this content. I was able to like show this to my mom or dad. I was able to ask them about this, or it gave me the language to understand how I navigate this. And these are multi-year journeys. Like, it could be many years before you're even open or willing to kind of go into therapy. But the seeds that get planted in these things is it at least allows us to second guess what our norm is, you know, what we believe, what we were taught growing up. And that's what I think is the actual power within these videos. They're not meant to completely transform you all at once. They're not meant to provide you this healing that you have to find on your own, in your own time and in your own journey. But at least it gets you to question. It at least gets you to think and reflect. And if that's the one thing that you take away from this, that's an amazing thing. So that's how I kind of approach that type of that situation.
And the question that for our community to have some context, the question that Leo is referring to before as we were preparing for this episode actually came from our Instagram stories, from specifically Lynette Calderon, who OG Miss Lynette on Instagram, coming from Sacramento, California. So she asked us, how do you approach a parent to go to counseling with their kids if they refuse to do so? And so I also kind of wanted to address Lynette's question in this episode and also add to what Leo mentioned, that sometimes as an LCSW, sometimes we start with psychoeducation. Sometimes that comes with educating what therapy involves, right? And one great way to do it is through popular media. If there's so much of a taboo that is associated with mental health in our community, especially with some of our parents' generation, they equate it with being crazy. But it's really starting with education from multiple standpoints, whether it's having those conversations, having series like Trauma Bond, or having different media outlets to expose the topics before engaging on in, like, you know, is this something that you would want to do together? Would you want to pursue therapy? And if at the end of the day, your parents say, no, I don't want to go to therapy, we still have to honor their choice, right? We still have to honor the client's choice to want to pursue that or to work on the challenges that they're dealing with, their own trauma. Everyone comes to it at a different point in their lives. And so thank you, Lynette, for that question. I hope that that even directories like Therapy Nye can show you other modalities and how we deal with the trauma in our communities. Talk therapy is just one modality. There are other ways of healing that we hope that you can explore. And with media outlets like One Down Media and Kumu, we hope that at least starts to get the conversation rolling in talking about the trauma that many people in our community face. Now, coming back to the Trauma Bond series, Tessa, how did you navigate your triggers when you were talking with your mom while you were recording the series?
Ooh, my gosh. I mean, one thing is when navigating those triggers and everything is, who are my support system? My siblings are a huge, I don't want to cry, a huge part of my support system, and my best friend was there too. And so I look at them, and I also look at my mom and know, like, yes, I'm hurting and these are really tough conversations, but yeah. I'd rather just put it all out there right now because it's now or never. I mean, took 30 years to get to this conversation. I don't want to wait another 10, 20, 30 years to get there. So I'm still navigating the triggers. I'm still going through the process. It's the past 48 hours have been really difficult, actually, with all the response on social media and everything. And if you were to ask me, oh, how are you feeling? Everything. Yeah, I'm strong. I'm great. I love my body, all that. And if you ask me on a deeper level, it hurts. It sucks. I am struggling. And so, yeah, I mean, it's that's a little thing. So for me right now, and when we were filming, it's really looking at my support system and what gets me going, and how I keep going. And that's what, going through that, I just kept looking at my brother, my sister, my best friend, and I thought of my dad and all of our good moments, and thought of my mom and the happy moments. And that's how I took it going into that.
And I just want to say, it takes a lot of courage to show your vulnerability on camera and in front of, like, a global audience. Man, I don't know how you did it. You and your mom did it, but props to you for just even, like, taking that step forward and being able to show your vulnerability. It's a process for sure. Now, you, since this was a family project, what did you all learn about each other during the making of these episodes? And we could start with either Leo or Tessa.
What did we learn? I think my favorite thing that I learned was actually hearing my mom's story. So Tessa wasn't in the room, but in the first scene of Trauma Bond, we actually give our mom taboo takes that she has to answer. And I was very shocked when we asked her the question, what were your parents like? And she actually, like, started to break and started to cry. And then I started crying behind the camera. I'm trying to hide myself so that, like, she doesn't see, because I don't want her to see me crying. But I'm also a crybaby, like, to be honest. I probably cried the whole day. But she was able to tell her story of her parents, and I hadn't heard that side. And I think that's the grace that a lot of us as Filipino Americans haven't yet given to our parents. And like, no one wants to see their parents cry, but to see our mom in like this very vulnerable kind of situation, to describe her parents being so strict and not allowing her to do this thing and this thing and this thing, and understand how that reflected on how we grew up, I think was like a large learning moment for us. So I think that's that for me, being able to hear our mom's story.
How about for you, Tessa? What did you learn about each other working on these episodes, the series?
Yeah, so like Leo mentioned, I didn't know what my mom said. I actually didn't know anything that she said or hers until I watched the episode with The World the other night. And going into that, I did not realize how much my mom, my mom went through with her parents, how her mom was, and how I didn't realize also how hard it was to parent us. I know I'm stubborn, but I think seeing my mom cry and seeing the vulnerability and being able to see like she does love us but doesn't know how to navigate these conversations, or the way I communicate to her when I'm frustrated might seem like I'm just ungrateful or anything. And so I learned a lot about our relationship. One comment she said, one of the good things that I said about her was something I wrote on a birthday card just one time that she remembered. And it was crazy that it was a huge reminder to me that our parents are listening. They know, they remember everything that we say. And it made me take a step back that I have said a lot of hurtful things out of anger and frustration and hurt to my parents, to my mom. And so just realizing that, okay, these conversations of what I say, I may not think of it ever again, but she definitely probably is thinking about it later, or if not every other day or something. So that was a lot of learning.
And I want to normalize the tears, by the way. I know that we talk about like how we cry, and I just want to say this is a health and wellness podcast for a reason. We work through our wellness and our health together as a community. So it's always a safe space on our Philippine X and Wellness podcast, because that's part of the healing, is being able to let go of those emotions and allow that to come out. When we hold it in, it manifests in other ways, even in health conditions that we don't anticipate, right? So you can cry all you want on this podcast. Now, do you both think that engaging in these deeper conversations as a family made you and your mom understand each other more and brought you closer? I guess this is in particular for you, Tessa, and then for the both of you. What advice for families that have barriers talking to their parents or to each other when it comes to sensitive topics would you provide?
100% engaging in these deeper conversations really made me understand my mom better. Do I understand her completely? No. Does she understand me completely? No. But I'm happy that we are making the conscious effort to just do a little bit at the time. I think one of a big one is I've been in the Philippines and I recently went to Boracay. And one of the things growing up is my mom hated me wearing bikinis. And she actually sent me 4 bikinis through her best friend to the Philippines. And that was a huge thing for me, for my mom, who always makes me wear like rash guard and one piece, to send me bikinis to wear here. And they were, it was a huge wow. Thanks, Mom, for dressing. I think from that, that conversation that we had with Trauma Bond is talking, all the comments about what I wear and always comparing it to what my sisters wear. My sisters would always wear the two-piece. I always am in the family one-piece. In February, we went to Hawaii. My mom got us matching bathing suits and I was in the one-piece. And all my sisters were in the two-pieces. So it's been that her sending that two-piece to me really was, wow. It was, even though it might still seem like a lot, it was really impactful for me. And at least my advice for families that do have barriers when talking about this is, I mean, it was great that we were able to talk in the recording. It's always important to know a good time and place. I think out of frustration, a lot of the times when I think of how I try to resolve things with relationship with my mother is that when we start arguing, we're fighting, we're yelling. So knowing the best time to communicate these emotions and these feelings and making sure that my mom also is open to the conversation, respecting that they want to communicate and being clear and using language that my mom understands. Talking about therapy and my anxiety and struggling with depression, imposter syndrome, and all this, I realized my mom had no clue what any of this meant. When I started going to therapy as well, it was my mom always just said, just pray, it'll go away, which I'm sure a lot of us hear that. And when Leo does a great way of being the kind of referee to help my mom learn these things and be the referee between us. It's so important also to have someone there to help navigate these conversations, because one thing I wanted to make sure always is that am I being an active listener or am I listening to react? So those were the biggest things that I think really helped the conversation and my advice to starting that conversation. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. We've tried to start it for so many years and it never got resolved. And I really, truly believe that that one episode, it didn't get resolved, no. But we are making a conscious effort to, one, starting the conversation, and also, two, being more aware of each other's feelings. And that's a start for me. And Leo, if you want to add anything.
Yeah, girl, you better flaunt those new sets of bikinis all around Port-au-Prince. Leo, do you have anything you'd like to add to your sisters?
Yeah, actually, wow, Tessa, that was such an eloquent way to say all of that. To be honest, I couldn't have said it better. The thing that I'll add is, and I think this is more for the viewers, because I see so many comments and people. One thing that I want to shout out is when we were editing this series, I brought 5 TV editors who are Filipino, started with our connection to AJ Calamai, so shout out to AJ.
Hey,
and then he brought four other Filipino, well, not all of them are Filipino, but they're Asian American TV editors. And I kind of told them the vision and asked them their feedback, and they gave it to us. And I'm so happy that they were able to give us, you know, their thoughts on this, because our goal is to really, like, how do we make these types of conversations mainstream, which is really a topic of how do you make it entertaining? And one of the editors said, this is so awesome, but I'd never be able to do this with my mom. And when I think of that, and I think of, like, how we, the Albea family gets presented in, like, being this, like, family that gets to talk to each other, I don't want to misrepresent that, like, we don't sit at a table and be like, all right, everyone, let's, like, talk about our feelings. We don't do that. That's absolutely, like, we don't even have these conversations often, to be honest. But being able to do things as a family and then experience certain things that allow us to get to know each other more. And that's not to say that these conversations aren't awkward. Like, to be honest, they are awkward. They are hard. And it's really weird. So that's the first thing that I wanted to spell, that, like, as a family who is able to have these conversations, like, the fact that Ate Tessa and our mom had this conversation does not mean that we do this very often or that it's normal. Like, that's the point of, like, it's a constant experience of just living and communicating better. And these problems still exist, and we just talk it out. And there's going to be moments when it's going to be hard and moments when it's going to be awkward. That's just naturally going to happen. And we don't sit around just, like, talking these feelings out. We don't. We do what every other family does. We, like, hang out. We go out and do random stuff. You know, we have our group chat, you know, and all of that. So I don't want to put out the notion that what it looks like to be healed is to constantly have these conversations. It's draining. And it takes time. But I think that's, like, what Ate Tessa had mentioned in terms of, like, mom making the effort to send her these things. I was at Target when mom was like buying those things. And I was like, oh my God, okay, that's cool. So I think that's like the part that I wanted to add, that like, it's not going to look a certain way. You don't have to get super serious to do this. It can happen over time in the right moments.
Thank you for mentioning that, because all of this really is a process, right? You don't just shoot a series and you're like, okay, we're all kumbaya now at the table as we have the chona pansit, right? Like, really, it starts to initiate a conversation of larger conversations that we need to have within our families. And just having that conversation itself is the impetus for our own healing and wellness. So as we approach the end of this episode, being that we're a wellness podcast, we typically like to ask our guests, what are your own wellness routines and self-care practices? I know both of you are really busy with the positions that you hold in your companies. Just curious to know, how do you balance it? What are your wellness routines and self-care practices look like?
Maybe, or Ati, do you want to start? Or do you want me to?
You can go first.
So I've actually always struggled in not having balance. I think it's a mixture of like me being young and feeling as though I didn't have enough time to try to make myself successful. And I think part of that also is like, oh, like I need to make my parents proud. I need to make it worth it, whatever. And I was constantly a yes man, to the detriment of myself and my own like mental health and really burning out. I try my best never to glorify overworking or always working. I feel like I fail in the degree that I think some people think that's just my personality. They're like, oh, Leo's always working, or like, you're always doing something. And to some degree that is true, but I'm trying my best to overcome that. The number one thing that I've been practicing as of the past year is having a portion of my day that is non-negotiable and dedicated to just myself. So what that involves is me waking up, it's me doing some exercises, and then walking 1 mile to 3 miles, and then reading a book, all before I can even like open up my email and do all those things. I don't always do it perfectly. Some days, like, oh, I wake up to an email, I look at it and I need to respond, or whatever it might be. But it really has been like doing my best to separate and provide myself this one moment in my day where no one else is allowed to enter, because that's my peace and that's how I start my day. So that's typically how I go about wellness. I do want to mention a quick thing. Moments when I like have an anxiety attack or I like have panicked, like, for example, I was at this event that One Down was holding, there was 100 people and everyone was so excited to interact. I actually had a panic attack during that time. So I had to leave and then go to a dark, isolated room and turn on this podcast. And it was just this like 10-minute podcast to lower anxiety and really just like breathe and separate myself. I sometimes do have to do that just to separate myself from it and really bring myself back to the moment. And I think that's totally okay. And I think that's normal. But I just wanted to say that because I want folks to also see that, you know, this happens. Like, I had a panic attack, separated myself, 10-minute meditate, came back out. Hi, hello. Hi, everyone. And then we went on with our day. But yeah, that's kind of been my journey of trying to balance out the work that we do with also taking care of myself.
Do you remember the name of that podcast in case anyone?
Well, it's called Mindful in Minutes. Yeah, it's Mindful in Minutes. It's this podcast that I'm going to say constantly, but it's my go-to. And it's cool because they have like meditation for blah, blah, blah. So it's like meditation for sleep. So if I'm like, I'm kind of like hard, it's hard for me to sleep, I'll play that one. Mindful meditation for anxiety, meditation for starting your day. Like, it actually has that breakdown. So that actually is the podcast that I listen to, and it's broken down into like 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes. So I just choose the one that I need given the situation, and then I do it. The hardest part is like staying in the zone. And I'm sure anyone who's like tried to meditate And especially if you're like a person like me, that every idea that you can possibly think of and like thing that you have to do, like your whole to-do list is in your mind. It's so easy for me to get off track and then stress myself over that. So that is also a skill I'm trying to be better at. But yeah, that's the podcast, Mindful in Minutes.
Thank you. And Tessa, you have like, you know, a lot that has come out with the Trauma Bond series. What are your self-care practices in moving through some of that and in your wellness routes?
Yes, I wish I could say that I have the best wellness self-care practices. But for me, is one thing is practicing my boundaries and learning. Similar to Leo, I'm a yes woman. I'm always on the go. I have all this energy. I want to be doing all these things. And when you're constantly on the go, on the go, on the go, on the go, I realize I'm in so many moments where I'm like at my breaking point. And I realize I'm the burnout. And I realized, oh my gosh, how do I fix this? And so for me, the little steps is Sunday is my day. Now that doesn't, you know, whether it's sleeping in, whether it's taking a whole day to watch Korean dramas, whether it's a day that I play my Pokemon Go, my apps, reading a book, going to the mall and taking a walk, whatever it is, getting a massage, Sunday is my day that I try not to look at anything work-related because working for a 24-hour app, work feels, it's really hard. I can't say that, oh, I get off work at 5 p.m. and I'm off the clock. No, I'm up till midnight every day. And when I'm in the U.S., I'm up till 9 a.m. because I'm working Philippines hours and U.S. hours and dealing with a lot of things. So for me, Sunday, I really try to do things that make me happy, whether it's get a massage, read a book, sleep in. I try to also just do breathing exercises. I do some stretches. And those are the little things I'm still navigating. I mean, my self-practices also change. One thing that in the last 2 months I've done is every month I plan a trip. So last month I planned a trip to Boracay. It was my time to just get away. I knew that Trauma Bond was coming out this weekend. And I knew that it would be really difficult for me because I'm away from my family and my support system. So what I'm here in Puerto Princesa, Palawan, and I knew that I wanted to be in a new space. And that is what I did this month for my self-care. My self-care is making sure every month I have something to look forward to. And next month as well, I'll be going home and that's my next thing. So those little things that I do. So if there are also any recommendations of books to read, I'm looking for more books to read as well. And that's really what I do for my self-care practices and wellness routine.
Thank you, Tessa. I see Leo smiling as you're talking. It must be fun to be on this episode together, really hearing each other's responses and what you all do as you move through and navigate these worlds. Now, as we begin to close, how can our community find you or learn about Kumu Philippines, One Down Media, and how to access the Trauma Bond series if they have additional questions for either one of you or about the platforms or the series itself?
Yeah, so folks can find me on any platform. My at is my name, Leo Albea, LEOALBEA. But the platform that we're really building that I would encourage anyone to follow is onedown.media. That's both our Instagram, but also our website. So if you type in onedown.media, you'll actually find us. And we're on most platforms. If you want to watch Trauma Bond, the series, feel free to find it on our YouTube, the full episodes. If you type in One Down Media, you'll find it very easily. So yeah, that's where you can find us.
And for Kumu Philippines, Tessa, or if anyone has questions for you after watching the Trauma Bond series, how can they reach you?
Yes, you can follow me at Tessa Albea. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook also. And please follow Kumu PH, download our app Kumu, K-U-M-U, and feel free to message me if you have any questions. I also want to just thank you to everyone that has been commenting and following and my inbox requests. It's been a whirlwind of emotions the past 48 hours, and I just want to say that I read every single comment, and it really gives me the power to keep going and speak my truth. This podcast had a lot of anxiety going into it because having to navigate this conversation is still something that I'm learning, and having to put myself out there, it's really challenging. And I'm in that process. But thank you to everyone that has reached out and offered their comments and service and sharing their stories. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing. There's been a lot of negative comments as well. But just, you know, I'm just happy that all of us are able to have a platform and a place where we can express ourselves, whether it is Instagram or TikTok comments or on Kumu or just calling a friend or whatever it is. Just thank you to everyone that's been reaching out to me. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, you both did great. You would not be able to tell that you had anxiety coming into this episode. You both really did a fantastic job. Final words, is there anything else that you would want our community throughout the diaspora to know when it comes to your series Trauma Bond, about Kumu or One Down Media? Anything you would like to add before we close?
I'll add this. The power that we have as a platform, as a media company, only goes so far. And I want our community to know that we understand where our place is, meaning when we do series like this, Trauma Bond, series on mental health, or these topics, we know that our job is to raise awareness. It's for these stories to reach you, your households, your families, and the greater public. But what we ultimately want to continue doing is uplifting folks that do the real work on the ground. And so oftentimes when you see us do these stories, there's often a CTA or there's some type of connection or resource that we're pointing to. We are not mental health experts. You know, this is not necessarily our line of work, but we rely on stakeholders within the Filipino community, whether that be mental health advocates or actual, you know, professionals and therapists, to really help in doing the next step. One Down and the content that we have could be the first step, the first point in which these discussions begin, but by no means are we really the end. And that's what we try to do our best in, is connect to those resources that continue on this conversation, that continue on that work. So I just wanted to share that in terms of what is our mission and our vision, and it's really to connect folks to the folks that do the real work. And we are so honored and happy every time we get to work alongside our community.
Thank you, Leo. Tessa, any final words?
No, I think Leo really, everything said yes.
Okay, awesome. And I also wanted to just say a huge thank you to One Down Media for reaching out to us to partner on this episode. I know, Leo, you mentioned that you weren't like the end-all be-all, and just bringing up these conversations is part of the process. And so we want to openly say that we're working in partnership with you all as One Down Media, you all as Kumu, on these this Trauma Bond series to provide more context around these challenging topics, and also partnering with folks like Therapy Nye, a global directory where folks can have the resources to work through a lot of what they're battling out there. So thank you again, both Tessa and Leo Albea, for talking with us about Kumu Philippines, One Down Media, and your new series, Trauma Bond. We look forward to witnessing your journeys unfold and can't wait to see what more you have in store for us within this arena of healing and wellness, so you see both continue to develop and evolve in your respective arenas. We'll continue to help share your upcoming projects as we stay connected in partnership. And to our community, another friendly reminder to look out for our next episode. We'll be talking with Wilhelmina De Castro about psychedelic-assisted therapy. So stay tuned, as this episode will air on Wellness Wednesday, August 14. As we close, again, we'd like to acknowledge once again our guest speakers, One Down Media CEO Leo Albea and your ate, VP of Kumu, Tessa Albea, your One Down Media Public Relations Coordinator, Ariana, I always want to say Ariana Grande, but Ariana Calvan, for helping with the behind-the-scenes operations as we prepared for this episode. Your shout out to your mom too, Pinky Albea, who jumped into the Trauma Bond series with you all unknowingly and realizing the benefits that can come from it. Our graphic designer and beat maker for our opening and closing track, Richie. Our advisors, Allison De La Cruz, Rian De Los Reyes, and Salfo Tio Logo. Our community partners, SoCal Filipinos, is Filipino American Life, Rising Filipinas, and Therapy Nye, and all of our community members for your shares and support. As always, we'll share more about our guest offerings on our Instagram stories and highlights for permanent access with any of their upcoming events. Be sure to follow us at Philippine X and Wellness on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
and on X at Philippine X, the letter N, well, followed by the letters N and S. Don't forget to continue to hit like and subscribe on all of our platforms, on our Philippine X and Wellness YouTube channel, Kumu, and also on One Down Media. Thank you always for believing in us. Be well, everyone. Continue to take care of yourselves and each other. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Salamat.
Salamat.
Salamat po. We'll be right back.